This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, good morning to you. It's hour number three. Hey, this hour, we're going to go over all of the games in the NFL this weekend. Tell you what we like, what we don't like about them, what games you can skip, and what games you absolutely must watch as we head into the holiday week. Again, hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that is Ron with two N's. And then we are going to talk Carolina Panthers football with Josh Klein, the Riot Report. We're going to get an insight on how the resurrection of Cam Newton in a Panthers uniform came about. What brought those two sides together after both decided to, you know, it was time to part ways just two seasons ago, if you will. We'll get an insight onto that and just the thought processes. It's not just the Panthers bringing back Cam Newton. Remember, there was a philosophical change that the organization wanted to have. That's why Ron Rivera had to go. Matt Rhule was brought in, right? It's Joe Brady who came in, right? So this was a philosophical difference, and now Cam Newton is back and electrifying Panther fans with those two touchdowns that he had in their game against Arizona. We're also, again, a lot more on the NFL, but I do want to get to Shohei Ohtani winning the AL MVP. We talked about this in hour number one. And again, I can't stress this enough. It's easy to sort of go, oh, look, Shohei Ohtani was a good pitcher and he was a good batter and he was this great two-way player. I think people really do need to be aware how historic this performance was, how an amazing achievement this was for an athlete like him to do that at the plate and what he did on the mound. We just don't see it. And we get less and less of these kind of players. We get more specialized players all the time. But a guy that can do it all like that, we rarely ever see in sports, that can do all sorts of things, different things that usually don't go together. We're not accustomed to baseball pitchers being able to be good hitters. In fact, we rarely have them. And when we do, we sort of go, hey, you know what? He's pretty good at the plate, for example. But Shohei Ohtani was different. He wasn't just good at the plate. He was a threat at the plate. He was scary at the plate. And on the mound, he was as well. So, again, the MVP may go to a guy that you go, oh, yeah, good pitcher, good hitter. But really put in context what you saw. Because in 2021, and going forward for the rest of however you're on this earth, I don't think you're going to see a player like him again. But coming up, the early afternoon games in the NFL. What you can miss, but what you absolutely have to see next on Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to go through the NFL schedule. We're going to go the early games and then do the late games, and then we're going to talk Carolina Panthers football coming up this hour. Before we get to all that, a reminder once again, free all deep penetrating oil. When you've got a project that just needs the kind of torque, you got a lot of torque, you got a lot of effort, you got to put into it, you're like, oh man, I need some help getting that bolt off, or I need to remove a pillow block or a fuel tank or whatever it may be, then think Free All Deep Penetrating Oil, because it delivers three times more lubricant, so it takes less spray and less torque and less time than any other penetrating oil to get the job done. Free All is also body shop safe, which means it's safe on paint, plastic parts, it's silicone free, and you'll find it at your AutoZone stores and O'Reilly and Napa as well. So Free All Deep Penetrating Oil, again, to get the job done right, again, three times more lubricant, so it does take less spray, less torque, and less time. Give it a try. It's Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. All right, let's go through the games coming up on Sunday as we go through the NFL schedule, tell you what to like, maybe what you can avoid. And we're going to start in Buffalo, New Era Field, or Highmark Stadium now as they call it. The Bills are taking on the Indianapolis Colts. Buffalo righted their ship with a rout against the Jets after losing to Jacksonville. But look out for the Colts. They're 5-5. They've won four of their last five games. They had a brutal schedule to start the season, but they've sort of corrected some things. And now face a Bills team that is 6-3, kind of needing that win to catch up to the Patriots. When we've talked about that before. I like this game a lot. I think the Colts are dangerous. Not Carson Wentz dangerous. I think their defense is dangerous.
This game, I think this, I'm not going to say it's a must-tune-in game, but I could have easily seen this game flexed.
Sure. The Colts are playing that good right now.
Yeah.
Again, if Carson Wentz doesn't throw left-handed passes like he does, by the way, if you're Frank Reich, do you just chop that hand off? What do you do to prevent him from throwing it left-handed?
You just remind him that he's not Patrick Mahomes.
Right. Some of these, I mean, it's amazing a professional quarterback throws a ball like that when he gets in trouble with his left hand. It's amazing. Just take your sack, man.
Just take it. I don't know why. Is it maybe in their contract if you have X amount of sacks, you lose money?
Right? We got to give money back to the team. Like they just stand there with their hand out at the end of the game. Like, I'll expect this coming up in about 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, they come week 16, 17. It's like, oh, I got like 5 to spare. We're good.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, like I said, it may not be the must win.
This should be a fun one.
Yeah, it's not a 5 out of 5. Maybe it's like a 3.5 to 4, but it's a good one. It's definitely a good one. How about the Bears against the Ravens? If I get the second half against the Steelers-Bears, I think I'm okay.
Yeah.
If I get the Bears blitzing their corners like Miami did against Baltimore, then I think I'd be even more okay. But I think if you're the Ravens, you've got to go, okay, we're not going to let that happen to us again. We're going to be better prepared than we were when the Dolphins blitzed their corners constantly.
I mean, it's just weird. It has the makings to be a really fantastic game and then have the makings to just be god-awful.
Yeah, right. I mean, I expect the Ravens to bounce back, but I don't necessarily think the Bears are going to go, oh, yeah, we kind of saw some good things in the second half against the Steelers. We want to continue. I don't know. But it's weird. Both teams, the Bears have had a bye week. The Ravens came off that Thursday night loss last week against the Dolphins. Just weird in all ways. Here's the interesting thing, though. The Ravens have won 12 straight games against NFC opponents. That's pretty good.
That is.
And the Bears have lost their last 7 games when coming off a bye week. They have not had a win out of a bye week since 2013. Two little bits of nuggets for you guys to ponder when you're deciding what kind of economic influence you may have over this game. I don't know. Just throwing it out there. All right, how about the Browns against the Lions?
Call me crazy. I think this is almost a must watch.
Can you imagine this one? Come on now.
I mean, that's the thing, right? On paper, you ignore it all day long. But the potential of what could possibly happen makes it almost a must watch. If anything, if this game is close, tune into the fourth quarter.
Right.
I mean, exactly. Go ahead and buy the NFL package right then and there and tune into the fourth quarter, because you could be seeing the epic collapse of a team that was supposed to win the division, right?
I'm telling you, this Browns team, I don't know if it's self-inflicted or they've got, they're just getting beat straight up. This is a roller coaster football team. I do not know exactly who they are, man.
And you have a Lions team that isn't really that bad of a team.
No, they are really trying, man.
Yeah.
I tell you, I said it last week, earlier this week with the Steelers and the tie. I said, that Lions team should be ticked off they tied that game. They should have won it.
Yes.
They should have won that game.
And that's why looking at this game, and like I said, on paper, I don't even pay any attention to it.
Yeah, I know.
This is a 0-8 and 1 team versus a 5-5. Who cares? But there's so many bigger storylines to this team. I mean, if the Browns lose, what is that? I mean, I can't imagine. Cleveland's going to implode.
I know. They're going to go crazy. They need wins like this because the Browns are beating teams they should, but losing to playoff teams.
Yeah.
So they need to beat a team like the Lions. They really do. And the Lions, you just know they're getting that win. I think they are getting that win at some point.
At some point this season, yeah.
They're getting better.
So why not Browns?
Yeah. How about the Texans and the Titans? Man, remember when this used to be good?
Skip it.
Remember when this used to be good? No, it's not good. It's terrible. The Texans have lost 8 in a row. Their offense is averaging only 14 points per game. I want to, out of 32 teams, guess 14 points a game. Yep, if you guess 32, you're right. Last in the league in scoring.
I'm going to make a bold prediction. Ryan Tannehill doesn't play the second half.
Yeah, you think so? Yeah. 8-2 Titans.
8-2 Titans.
A 6-game win streak.
What is it? 1-8 Texans. It'll be on here in the Houston area, unfortunately. And I don't even think Houston fans are going to be watching.
So
no watch parties for this game.
used to be fun back in the old days, but not anymore.
Yep.
Not anymore. All right, here's one that's interesting. At Minneapolis, you have the Vikings against the Packers. I still do not know much about the Vikings. I don't know if they're good at 4-5. I don't know if they're bad at 4-5.
Yep.
I just don't. I don't know.
I want them to win to kind of justify beating the Chargers last week.
Yeah, that's very true.
That'll make me feel better.
And, of course, we all know the Packers are good. They're 8-2.
As long as Aaron Rodgers is playing.
As long as Aaron Rodgers is playing. That's right. So,
but if it's Jordan Love playing. If Jordan Love's playing, yeah, Vikings win.
Nope.
You heard it here.
He did have a toe issue, which, by the way, don't blow off. Toes are, they get hurt, man. That really stings.
God, crippled Antonio Gates' career.
That's right, right? Toes are, yeah, it's nasty. He does plan to play, but he was out of practice due to a toe injury. So, good, you know, figure that. How else are they? I mean, they had some injuries. Are they all healed up now? Are some of these guys back?
I think so. I think everyone's healed up. Everyone's off COVID.
All right.
I think there's a full squad coming.
Well, yeah, okay. That'd be good. All right, maybe not. This is a middle of the road game, less than middle of the road game.
Well, I mean, Kirk Cousins is still the quarterback of the Vikings, right? That's about all I know.
That's about it.
I couldn't tell you anything else that's going on with this team.
Yeah, I know. Let's go back.
Is part of the problem is that we don't care
about the
Vikings.
About the Vikings. Why don't I have a feeling for the Vikings? Look, they're middle of the road. Why don't I have a feeling?
Listen, I mean, you know more about other teams with 4 wins, 4-5, you know, a team that's just below 500 than you do about the Vikings, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, we just talked about, you know, the Bears. The Bears have a worse record. The Colts are, you know, just a game up on them. Yeah, you know, if we pan out the standings. A few of these teams that we're going to talk about in a minute, they're, you know, a similar record to the Vikings. Is it just because they're that far up north that we don't care? I feel like the Vikings disappear a lot.
Well, like they play in Canada or something like that, and we're just like, eh, whatever. Yeah.
I feel bad for them. They're only relevant, you know. I don't even know when they're relevant, to be honest with you.
How about San Francisco and Jacksonville? The Niners, like, turned it up a notch on Monday night, beating the Rams.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it was like, hey, look at the Niners now, this dominating effort that they put out against Los Angeles. And the Jacksonville team, they still stink at 2-7, so. But I'm going to repeat it. Because you said it the best. We still have not had the good game from Trevor Lawrence.
We haven't.
Still have not had the one rookie game we go, man, not bad, rookie. Well done. Really good. No, we still haven't. Ordinary. Numbers are plain and
safe.
Average. He's got 8 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. I mean,
yeah. Bleh. I mean, 8 touchdowns in what? 10 games? They're coming up on their 10th game. They've only played 9.
They're coming up on their 10th game. I mean,
so,
please.
8 touchdowns in 9 games.
Yeah.
You know, you're not even averaging one a game.
No, come on now, Trevor.
So, I mean, yeah, we're still waiting. I want to see that 3-touchdown performance, 4-touchdown performance that just has us all in awe. Like, that's why he's number one.
But the 49ers, if they get to 5-5, now all of a sudden down the home stretch, if they're playing this good, now all of a sudden they're like, all right, we got some goals to get. We're all right.
Why not cast them as a threat?
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we'll do the rest of the afternoon. Early afternoon games get into the late games, including one where it's going to affect the way we talk to the guests that we have later on in this hour on the Carolina Panthers. That is all coming up as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue on a Football Friday. Hey, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. We are continuing to take a look at the NFL schedule coming up this weekend and give you an idea of what to watch and what to not watch. All right, let's continue with the early afternoon games, but moving along into the late afternoon games. And we're going to continue along with the Carolina Panthers in Charlotte to take on Washington. Is Cam Newton going to see even more playing time than he did against Arizona? Is PJ Walker going to start? And what about the reunion for the Panthers with Washington coach Ron Rivera? All those are on the table for this game. The Panthers Guess what? They're 5-5, and a win would put them right back above 500 in the swimming pool of the NFC playoff talk.
Cam better play.
I do, too. I want Cam to play more now.
Yeah.
No offense, Mr. XFL PJ Walker, but I want Cam to play.
Even though never given to him, XFL MVP?
Yeah.
Can we just give that to him?
He was really, really good. He was exceptional.
Then the Roughnecks were undefeated on their way to winning a championship, most likely. Why not give him MVP?
No, he was. We will. We will give him the MVP. We will make it so. So, yeah, no, PJ Walker, again, Cam Newton's a better story. That's it. Listen, the Panthers are playing better, but they did beat up an Arizona team that didn't have its major stars. I don't know if they would have won that game if Arizona had its stars, but they did. They won, so give it to them, and they're 5-5 now. Washington, they're one of the worst teams in the NFL, and yet they just come off a win against Tampa Bay. Is that a kickstart into maybe we'll do something with this season rather than disappear into the spotlight? I don't know. But that's the game you got tonight. But it's mostly about Cam Newton. Hey, how about the Eagles against the Saints? Jalen Hurts is playing pretty good right now. He's gotten a lot better. The Eagles, though, have not won a game at home this season. The Saints have lost two in a row as they start Trevor Siemian at quarterback. Can I make a statement about that? Because I remember Trevor Siemian. Remember in the preseason, it was Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill.
Yes.
Remember that?
Oh, I do.
What happened to Taysom Hill? Why isn't he starting ahead of Trevor Siemian?
See, Sean Payton loves him, but not that much, I guess.
I guess not that much. So in all thought, it was probably never Jameis Winston against Taysom Hill,
no,
was it?
I don't think so.
If it was a close battle in training camp, then he would have gotten the nod. I mean, come on. You couldn't have seen something magical in Trevor Siemian.
Maybe it was just media-driven?
Maybe it might
have
been.
After it's all said and done? I don't know. It is bizarre.
Maybe Sean Payton didn't want to speak on it because he didn't want to hurt, say anything publicly against a quarterback.
Yeah.
But he was probably in the room going, it's not going to be Taysom Hill starting the quarter.
Does Taysom Hill play in any other team?
That's a great question. You know what? Sometimes you just got to embrace the Swiss Army knife thing.
Yeah.
I remember as a Steeler fan, I used to say that about Cordell Stewart. I know Cordell wanted
time.
To be the starter. He hated Slash. He wanted to be the starter. He made money off being Slash. He was in commercials being Slash, but he wanted to be the first starting quarterback.
Yeah, but then Antoine Werendahl, he welcomed it. He was like, yeah, okay.
He welcomed it, yeah, because he played quarterback, at, I think, in Indiana, right? And,
yeah.
Same thing. And you go back and you go, maybe it was just better if for your career if you just had that one the multiple you were known for that one thing being good at a lot of different things and just made money off of that.
Yeah, true. Taysom Hill's not going to get
$30 million a year. I get it.
Taysom Hill's not going to get that, but I mean he's probably getting at least close to 10, right?
Better than nothing.
Yeah.
All right. So we got Jets Dolphins. I sent my piece yesterday on this. Listen to the podcast. I ripped the Jets and Robert Saleh apart for this, the way they treated Mike White. I think it was terrible. Joe Flacco is getting the start for the Jets. Mike White's not even going to get a chance to redeem himself after that terrible game against one of the top defenses in the country in the NFL. But going up against a Dolphins team that, phew,
all right, can I interrupt you real
maybe
quick?
Maybe they'll blitz their corners. Go ahead.
All right. I decided I was curious, okay? So I decided to look up Taysom Hill's contract. Do you know how much he's getting? What would your guess be?
$2 million?
A season, right?
Yeah.
I even went on the high end, said maybe around $10 million. Right? You know, maybe he's getting close to double digits. He signed, like, recently an extension for 4 years, $140 million.
What? Then just do whatever they ask you to do.
Do what they ask you to do.
If they're giving you that kind of money to not be a starter ever, that's great. Come on!
I
What was that big number again? What was the dollar figure?
For Taysom Hill?
Yeah.
$140 million. 4 years.
Over 4 years, $140
million? Yeah.
Good God. Yeah, you're fine.
You're
relax.
Fine, Taysom.
You're like, don't worry about it.
Maybe that's why Taysom's not publicly coming out going, I should be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, I'd go out and punt if they told me to punt for that kind of money. Are you kidding me?
All right, continue. Let's continue. Sorry.
Let's go to the late afternoon games, and this is the Raiders against the Bengals. Both teams are 5-4. Now, it's not a must-win. I don't want you to misconstrue this, but I got to think it's kind
for
of
who?
Important. Like the Raiders are now looking up at a Chiefs team that's found its groove. It's like, okay, we better start, you know, let's win some games to get moving here. Right? And the Bengals are probably like, yeah, and we need to bounce back and bounce back pretty
well. We had a groove. We lost our groove. You know, we got to find our groove again.
They should be in their locker room. The Bengals should be in their locker room before this game. And Joe Burrow, I don't care. If you want to say it, you go ahead. If anybody else, if Jamar Chase wants to say it, that's fine.
By the way,
Taylor, you can say it too.
By the way, full disclosure, if you're if you have plans Sunday afternoon, cancel them.
This game?
No, this slate of games is ridiculous.
I think one of the players needs to stand up in the locker room for the Cincinnati Bengals and you go, at one point, guys, Tony D on the radio said we were the most dangerous Cincinnati Bengals team he has ever seen. And we gave that away.
Yes.
We got to go get that back. If Tony D is afraid of us, the rest of the league will be afraid of us. Go do that and see if it inspires the team.
I want to say,
on me.
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm pretty certain that's on their bulletin board.
Right, that's a freebie on me. Use it. If it works for you, it works for you. You're welcome.
Yeah.
All right, how about
Laminated.
The Cowboys and Chiefs? Holy cow.
Another five-star.
What a five-star game this bad boy is going to be.
Could be six.
All right, one of these teams is leading the league in scoring, and I'll give you a hint. It's not the Chiefs. Dallas is putting up over 31 points per game.
It's insane.
They are cooking. They are what Kansas City was before Kansas City decided they did not need to do that
anymore. Have we ever seen a dual running back threat like they have?
Oh, no.
It's been a while. I'll go all the way back to Marcus Allen, Bo Jackson.
Yeah, they've been pretty good.
I mean,
go ahead.
No, I'm saying it's been a while.
It's been a while. Chiefs, though, exploded for 41 points in their win against Las Vegas. They are look like they're cooking now, winning three in a row, and they're 6-4. They lead the division. Look out. You know, they're like Tiger Woods when he would just kind of hang around the leaderboard, like in seventh place, and then he'd have that Saturday where you're like,
he throws the red shirt on.
62. Yeah, great.
Well, this is
now
a great.
He's leading this thing by six.
And this is a great game for the Chiefs because this one, you know, if they go out and just roll stomp the Cowboys, then we can say, yes, they're officially
they're back.
If they lose this game, we're like, okay, you ran into a tough team.
Yeah, they could be swimming again in that middle of the road pool.
Yeah, but we're not gonna throw them out.
No, we're not. Not at all. All right, Seahawks and Cardinals. All right, are the Cardinals back? Where are we with the Cardinals in their health?
That's a good question.
I have not paid attention to them this week, and I probably should, but I don't need Colt McCoy or Clint Strever. Was that his name? I don't care what his name is.
I think you're making names up.
I want Kyler Murray.
Yeah. Clint Strever? That's not a real person.
Is that his name? Is that not a real person. Did I make that up?
You might have.
I might have made that up.
Although I wouldn't mind watching Colt McCoy.
I like Colt McCoy.
There's
he's
a soft
guy
spot.
That's hung around. He's had a good backup life, right? By the way, I'm now frantically looking up the quarterback that came in for the injured Colt McCoy just to remind myself that I didn't make that name up. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's not Strever. It's Chris Streveler.
Streveler. Yeah, Kyler and Colt are both questionable.
Okay. So. If not, we're going to get Chris Streveler, who played out of South Dakota. It's only his second season in the league, folks, so get to learn him. If indeed that's the case. All right? So that's another pretty good
Both were limited in practice on Thursday, but they practice.
Sunday night, your Mason Rudolph Pittsburgh Steelers going up against Justin Herbert and the Chargers. I hope Ben plays. Please, Ben, play.
I hope
but
so,
I like
too.
I like Mike Tomlin this week. We're game planning for Mason Rudolph. How about your game plan for anybody else in Mason Rudolph? I'm getting really sick and tired of the former Oklahoma State quarterback. He does not do it anymore. This should be another one, though. This is a pretty good one. Both of these teams want to stay.
It should be a fun Sunday night game.
It should be a fun Sunday night game.
Yeah.
Well.
So you,
I guarantee
you don't want Mason.
Steelers
you would rather roll out Dwayne Haskins than Mason Rudolph?
No, Dwayne Haskins is getting. You hear about that buzz about how lazy he is and everything?
Have I? Hasn't that been his MO?
It's the MO every time, right? Yeah. The same thing is going on in Pittsburgh that's gone on before. That's the MO. But I don't want Dwayne Haskins anywhere near. I'll take Mason Rudolph. I'd rather take Ben Roethlisberger. But by the way, as a lifelong Steeler fan, Ron, enjoy the victory Sunday night because the Steelers do not win on the West Coast. They just don't.
Well, that's all right. There's going to be more Steeler fans than Charger fans.
Of course.
So it might feel like a home game to them.
Yeah, but somehow that West Coast thing just messes them up. Monday night, Sunday night, regular times, it doesn't matter. They never win on the West Coast. And then Tampa Bay and the Giants on Monday night.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, as we were doing earlier, going over the games of the NFL, one of the games we were highlighting, Carolina against Washington, right? This brings Ron Rivera back into play. You know, now he's coaching in Washington, coach of the Panthers. Cam Newton, of course, the big storyline there. So we thought, you know, let's chat about this football team, the Carolina Panthers, who are 5-5. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Josh Klein joining us from the Riot Report, talking Carolina Panthers football. How are you, Josh?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you? Thanks for having me on the show.
Let's talk about how the reunion of Cam Newton and the Panthers came together. Is it as simple as we need a quarterback and he's available, bring him on board? How did it play out?
Well, it was obviously everything is a little bit more complicated than that. But, you know, the way that the Cam Newton era ended here in Charlotte, there were some mixed feelings and some kind of, I don't want to say bad blood, but certainly Cam Newton described that he was, you know, after being released kind of unceremoniously after the team signed Teddy Bridgewater when Matt Rhule just had joined on as coach, he said he was feeling some type of way. But ultimately, over the past few months, he has said, you know, I'm going to forgive, I'm going to forget. And when Matt Rhule called him last Tuesday and said, hey, you know, would you have interest in coming back to the Carolina Panthers? He emphatically said, yes, I absolutely would. There was no hesitation in that that ideal of coming back to Carolina. And when you ask for the Carolina Panthers, what does that bring? I mean, not only did they need a quarterback because Sam Darnold had been injured and, to be honest, playing pretty poorly even before he got hurt, this team and this fan base and this city, you know, there was apathy here regarding the Carolina Panthers. And that's the worst place that you want to be when you're an NFL franchise, is having fans that just don't care rather than maybe don't like which direction the team is going.
No, that's an extremely good point. You would rather have your franchise where everybody's calling radio or just screaming and hollering rather than not talking about you at all. That is 100% true. But let's go back to how they split. What were the reasons behind it? Sort of take us back to that moment with why the decision by the organization and Matt Rhule to say, "One, the greatest player in franchise history, we don't need your services anymore."
Well, you know, I think it's a little bit more complex than just Matt Rhule. You know, Marty Herney, who's now the part of the front office in Washington, was the GM that had kind of a holdover from the previous generation, had been here for, you know, a few decades. And so, you know, they thought that they could kind of rebuild on the fly while still being successful. And ultimately, Cam Newton had been injured. I mean, he'd been dealing with a shoulder injury, a foot injury. The Lisfranc kept him out for most of the 2019 season. So, you know, you look at who Cam Newton was, and you hadn't seen a healthy Cam Newton play 16 games in two seasons. So I think that they were a little bit concerned, and they kind of, in my mind, you look at a new owner coming in. David Tepper had purchased the team in 2018, and then a new coach comes in. And so, you know, fresh start. You want to turn the page and move on from that era. I can understand why they made that move. It was never the decision to let go of Cam Newton. It was the way that they went about it that I think rubbed a lot of the fan base the wrong way and rubbed Cam Newton himself the wrong way.
So I try to equate this with other industries where you have like maybe a manager at a company or something leaves and comes back and then he takes a lesser role and everybody goes, oh no, I'm just here to do this. So that's okay. But everybody knows eventually he's going to be the man again. Is that the feeling here? I mean, what happens with Darnold? What happens with PJ Walker? I can't imagine that this sort of contains itself to goal line situations. They're paying him too much money just to do that, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm not a soothsayer. I'm not the teller of the future, but I think it's pretty clear and pretty obvious that the Sam Darnold experiment in Carolina may already be over after only a few weeks into one of the two seasons that he signed under contract for. I think Cam Newton is here. He's going to be the starter for the rest of the season. I think they're being a little bit coy with kind of, oh, maybe PJ Walker will get some packages. I think Cam Newton is here. As long as he's healthy, he's going to be the starter for the Carolina Panthers. And I think that if he plays well, then the Panthers will have a bit of a decision on their hands, which in my mind won't be that big of a decision. You know, they're looking to at some point bring in their quarterback of the future and their franchise quarterback. And so if you are trying to kind of bridge that gap between now and the future, I think most everyone would rather it be with the greatest player in franchise history under center rather than Sam Darnold, who is a failed reclamation project. And at this point is, to be honest, I'm not sure can be saved.
It is remarkable. I mean, this is just something we do not see. I mean, this isn't Cam Newton signing a one-year deal so he can retire a Panther. This is a guy that's going to have a second act when he's the greatest player in franchise history, when he's been the most important player in the city. We just do not see in the NFL quarterbacks get a second chance with a team that let them go.
Absolutely. And, I mean, you look at what happened on Sunday against Arizona. Like, you couldn't have – Cam said you couldn't tell a lie this good. Matt Rhule said it seemed like it was something out of a movie, and it really did. I mean, he comes jogging onto the field. He signs on Thursday, and you kind of think to yourself, I mean, they're inside the five-yard line. It's going to be a Cam run for a touchdown, and that run should have been stopped in the backfield. But, of course, Cam Newton does his Cam Newton thing, breaks tackles, gets out of people's grasp, overpowers people. He is the greatest short yardage weapon in the NFL. Right now, maybe the great shortest yardage weapon of all time in football. And he scores a touchdown, rips off his helmet, screams, "I'm back." And there is nobody in the Carolina Panthers fan base that covers the team, that has ever been a part of the team, that didn't have goosebumps or get a little bit emotional when he is yelling, "I'm back," and runs over and gives the football to a Panthers fan kid in the front row. I mean, you could not have scripted it any better than that.
Let's go to the other story of this game, and that's Ron Rivera on the other sideline now. Talk a little bit about that departure. There was a talk about Dave Tepper buying the team and wanting to go in a philosophical direction that maybe that Ron Rivera just didn't want to go through. How much of that is true? How much of that is maybe glossing over the real issue between coach and owner?
I think it's a little bit of the same thing that happened with Cam Newton, right? A new owner buys the team. Like if you buy a restaurant, you're okay with the cook kind of preparing the same menu. But at a certain point, you want to bring in your own guy. You want to cook the kind of stuff that you like to eat. So I think that makes a lot of sense why. And Ron Rivera, for all the success that he did have here, he was, you know, the winningest coach in franchise history. They won three straight NFC South championship or division championships, the first team in the history of that division to do that. And obviously went to the Super Bowl in 2015, 15-1. He won NFL Coach of the Year 2 out of 3 times. But I think that, you know, in today's NFL, a lot of times that message can kind of, it wears a little bit thin. And when you have a new owner in town, there's going to be, you know, Cam Newton, the Cam Newton era seems like it might be winding to a close. It made a lot of sense. And again, it's the same thing. I can't fault David Tepper for letting go of Ron Rivera, but did he need to do it with 4 games left in the season? I'm not 100% sure about that. But I think that, you know, Ron Rivera went from over the course of once Ron Rivera will no longer be coaching the Panthers, link went out. He went from the most hated man in the Carolina Panthers fan base to the most beloved. You know, once he was no longer the coach, everybody had nothing but good things to say about Ron Rivera, because this is a guy that had a huge impact on the city of Charlotte, always gave to charity, always willing to talk to the media, always had that respect for not only the fan base, but the organization and the team itself. So I do think Ron Rivera was able to kind of help, along with Cam Newton, elevate the Carolina Panthers to that national stage. So he will always have a place here in Carolina for a lot of folks in their hearts.
Josh, I ask this knowing that you're concentrating a lot on the Carolina Panthers, but this story of Cam Newton returning doesn't happen if he's on the New England Patriots, if he's the starting quarterback there, if it had worked out. Did you think it would work out with him and McDaniels and Belichick? Were you surprised that they went with a rookie over him during the preseason?
No, I mean, ultimately the NFL is a quarterback driven league, right? And if you can bring in a rookie quarterback on a rookie contract, you're going to want to take that chance and do that, every year. And ultimately, you know, Cam Newton is now a quarterback that's in his 30s. So there is a there is an expiration date on his services at some point, whether it's this year, whether it's in 3 years. So you want to try to prepare yourself for the future. And when they had a chance to draft Macaroni Jones in the first round, you got to go ahead and pull the trigger on that. So I can understand when you have a rookie in there. And the other thing with Cam is such a force in that locker room that it's hard to be another quarterback. It's hard to be Mac Jones. It's hard to be, you know, if Cam Newton is going to come in, he is going to pull every single player on that offense to his side, and he is a leader immediately. You could see it in the Arizona game. You know, he had been on the roster for three days, and he's already pulling everybody in the team together on the sideline and giving them an inspirational speech. That's the kind of man, that's the kind of leader that Cam Newton is. So it's hard to be another quarterback. It's hard to be Sam Darnold. If you're Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, Ian Thomas, any of these other guys in the Carolina Panthers locker room, and Cam Newton walks in, are you going to say, hey, I want Cam Newton to be my quarterback? Or are you going to be like, hey, I'm going to stick with Sam Darnold? I know he threw 7 interceptions in 3 games, but that's my guy. Like, obviously, you're going to go with Cam Newton. So I think that was why, ultimately, he wasn't going to work in New England. And so everything worked out together to bring him back here to Carolina.
And I got a feeling this has got to be a second breath here. I mean, you got a division where Tampa Bay has come back down a little bit, a game back now. I mean, like there's winnable games on the schedule. Cam Newton is back. There's got to be a feeling of refreshness to where Carolina is right now.
Yeah, I mean, I always said, you know, before the season started that this team had enough talent to certainly compete for a playoff spot. It's just a matter of where the quarterback position was going to lay out by the end of the season. And I do think that if Cam Newton can do the thing that Sam Darnold couldn't do, which is take care of the ball and not give it to the other team, he can give this team a chance to win. I mean, you have a top 5 defense with a ton of talent that is able to produce turnover, sacks, do all the things that you want a defense to do. You have, one of the top running backs in the league in Christian McCaffrey, wide receiver duo, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson. So, you know, it's almost a perfect fit for Cam Newton in that, you know, he can do his thing. He can be a leader. He can make plays when he needs to, but he ultimately doesn't need to carry the team like he has in the past. It doesn't have to be the Cam Newton show. It can be the Carolina Panthers show with Cam Newton as part of that ensemble cast. So I do think they could make some noise, certainly at least competing for a playoff spot, because I think when you look at the NFC standings, somebody's going to get in at 9-8 or 8-9. And that could be the Carolina Panthers.
Josh Klein, again, the Riot Report covering the Carolina Panthers. Great, great stuff. I really appreciate it. And it was just such an interesting week and a turn of events for the franchise. Help us sort it out. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, man.
You got it. Josh Klein, again, on our Progressive guest line. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. We'll come back, wrap up the hour, get you set for the weekend next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this is our Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. You need a mortgage that fits your life, Rocket can. I thought Josh was great helping us with the Panthers. I thought he's fantastic. Really interesting. Again, just, you know, Ron, we say things and then you sit back and you really think about it. And it really is remarkable. This is a guy that the organization was like, you know what? He's not healthy. Costs us a lot. We got a new owner. We're getting a new coach. You know what? You're the most important player in franchise history, but we're going to part ways with you. And then a season without him, he comes back the next season after that. And we just do not see this in sports. I mean, we see it in other sports. But we don't see it as quarterbacks in the NFL. We just do not see a quarterback go, I'm the most important player in the franchise. I leave and I come back. And on a new deal, and I'm again the most important player on the team.
I mean, instantly. It wasn't like he came back and it's like, you know, we want you just mentor the young kids.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know what? Can you take the rock, please?
You know what? And it goes back to something like we're in radio, right? Like, imagine if you had a sales manager at a radio station and he's a great manager, but he leaves for another place, and then you get a new manager, and the new manager's like, all right, I'm taking over. This is cool. I'm really excited. Got the office. And then a year later, that old sales manager, he comes back and he's just a sales guy. And he goes, yeah, I'm just doing, I'm not, don't worry about me. I'm just doing sales. I'm not, But eventually he's going to get that office, right? Eventually he's going to get that office. And you just go, all right, well, whatever. That's the way it is. If you're P.J. Walker and Sam Darnold, see you later. He's not just going to be a goal. He's starting and your time is over. Thanks for playing. That's the way it is. You had your chance. You didn't make it. I mean, P.J. Walker is probably okay with it. He was probably like, look, I was a backup anyway.
You know?
I was a backup to Sam Darnold. I'll be a backup to this guy.
I mean, you know, he can still walk around.
Starter.
He can still walk around and go, dude, I'm an XFL star.
But remember how excited, remember how excited Sam Darnold was about, like, I'm getting a new chance. I'm getting out of this hellhole that is the Jets and New York and the media. I'm going to get a new
life.
He
still could be there.
Right? But
he still could be there. I mean, isn't he?
He is back.
He's nursing an injury right now.
Yep.
So, I mean, he still could be, you know, what the Panthers were up before, what he was hoping he would be to the Panthers. But right now, it's Cam Newton time again.
But remember, we're not talking about a player that was, all right, I could live without him. He was the most popular guy in Charlotte. He was the king of that town.
Yes.
And now he's back on the throne.
Not that, but I mean,
it's a crazy story.
2016, he was the man in the NFL.
And never forget the key reason that this story exists because the Patriots, this ain't working to go with the rookie quarterback. If he was the starting quarterback of the Patriots, we don't have Cam Newton's resurrection in Charlotte. Now we get it. It's a pretty good story. Hey, have a good week. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. I'll be off all of next week, but I'll be back the week after. So have a thankful and safe Thanksgiving, everybody. Thanks for listening, and keep it going.